We've got a rally going on within the wheat complex and still some uncertainty on the soybeans. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Joining me today is Jim McCormick. Jim, of course, is with agmarket.net. So let's talk about this rally, first off, that's happening in the wheat complex.
Yes. Hey, to begin the month of November, we are making new highs for the move. You got December wheat up 9 cents higher right now. And this all has to do, Susan, with a lot of smoke out there that China is snooping around to buy some U.S. wheat. We heard some of those rumors on Friday. There continue to be more rumors today that's going on. And with the price action we're seeing, I would not be surprised to see, if the government was open, if you'd get a fly sale announcement. So we'll see if we get any confirmation from the private guys. But right now, that seems to be the talk, that China is buying some wheat, maybe as part of this, you know, kind of trade ceasefire that we had implemented last week.
So beyond that, I mean, everybody's been waiting on this and what's going to happen with the discussion with China. And I know that it's nice to see a wheat rally, though there's some uncertainty if wheat's going to be included in some of these Chinese purchases like sorghum as well. But now there's some uncertainties when it comes to the debate on the soybean side of it.
Exactly. The wheat and sorghum, people are kind of saying, hey, maybe they're going to buy it. China, as far as I know, did not commit to buy a certain amount of that. But the one that we do know, Susan, is there was this 12 million metric ton figure that's been tossed about since the meeting last week. And what I mean by that is the White House over the weekend posted that China will purchase at least 12 million metric tons of U.S. soybeans during the last 2 months of 2025 and also purchase at least 25 million metric tons of beans in each of 26, 27, and 28. Okay, so that has the market very, very excited. The problem is we are getting some cross talk within the government officials, because Scott Bessent, remember, he's the gentleman, the Treasury Secretary, that actually brokered the framework deal before President Trump and Xi met. He came out on Thursday and said China had agreed to buy 12 million metric tons of American beans during the current season through January. And this is where the confusion is, because if you look at what we've done since the beginning of 2025, we've actually sold and shipped China 5.9 million metric tons of beans. So if Bessent's numbers, if we're working off the Bessent number, that means there may be only 6.1 million metric tons of beans for China to purchase. If you listen to what the White House is saying, they're saying it's additional 12 million metric tons above and beyond what we've already bought and shipped to them. Now, both of those numbers actually be less than what we thought they would buy at the beginning of the year. But, you know, that discrepancy, about 6 million metric tons, equates to about 220 million bushels. So it will affect the balance sheet depending on how this story breaks.
So the uncertainty, too, that's going on there, Jimmy, we got the fact that the government is still shut down. We might beat that record if nothing happens tonight. So we don't have a lot of data that's coming back when it comes to purchases, discussions. How do you see all of that factoring into all this other uncertainty we've got going on in the marketplace?
Well, for one thing, it definitely adds to the volatility of the market, because there's just not a lot of news out there to trade that we normally would trade. So that adds to it. Now, it is interesting, Susan, that the government over the weekend also made another announcement. They said even though the USDA is closed, they are ordering certain people back to work, and they are now saying we will have a November WASD and production report that was supposed to be released early next week. Instead, it's going to be released on Friday. So we will finally get some data of out there what this crop is, because we're guessing around here we're probably 95% harvested in the beans, and you're probably pushing 80%+ harvested on the corn. So there's still a lot of debate on where this crop is, because if that bean yield gets lower, this Chinese crop purchases definitely have a much bigger impact on the balance sheet. But the crop yield stays there, and let's say this China's only buying 6 million metric tons instead of 12, that balance sheet could actually get a little bit more uglier, and you can see that carry out start to grow on the beans. So you know, giving these numbers a week from Friday, we'll maybe clear up that picture at least a little bit.
How about the excitement that we are going to see a November WASD report, though it's going to be pushed back to November 14th?
Well, like I said, it's something we've been flying blind, and that's added to a lot of volatility. I mean, the only thing we're getting right now is we're getting inspections, which continue to show that we are shipping beans out. But we're flying blind on so much other news. And like I said, it will be nice to get the balance sheet updated. But the one thing I really would like to see, Susan, is the CFTC report, the Commemorative Traders Report, because we really don't know what the funds are doing. We've seen the open interest decline dramatically in the grain complex which would suggest the funds are getting out of their big position they've had on. But it's kind of interesting. I want to know, if you look at the actual, what since mid October, the funds were getting out of, they bottomed the corn market mid-October, the bean market mid-October, the soy meal market mid-October, and the wheat market mid-October. On the other side, they topped out of their cattle, their feeder cattle, the gold, the silver, the platinum, and the palladium. They all topped at mid-October and seen massive reduction in fund open interest. So we've seen some interesting moves in the funds. We got to get that CFTC report updated so we have a little bit better clarity of what exactly these funds are doing and what that may mean as we wrap up the 2025 calendar year.
So do you think the cash on the livestock side, can they turn themselves around after the big drop we saw last week?
I think they can. I think the panic selling has ended. Spot feeder cattle and, spot cattle are now trading back over the 100-day moving average. You know, if you look at what broke the market, the fact is part of it was the argument we're bringing Argentina beef in. The reality is, Susan, that really is not going to be a game changer. You know, it is a very small supply of beef. I think the market overreacted to that headline. And then the other storyline that really got people kind of worked up and fearful of it was the talk that we're going to open up that border. Well, the U.S. government has really pushed back then. They're working, quote unquote, to get this border open, but it looks like it's going to be a very long time to get it open. So the market is stabilized. And right now, if you look at it in general, we are seeing kind of a K recovery in the economy. If you're at the lower end of the economy, you're definitely struggling right now. But, you know, the higher end economy, steakhouses, they're still relatively full. So I think the cash market could rebound. But I think we have changed that psychology a little bit from a kind of a buy the dip aggressively to maybe we're going to see if we do get a rally, a little bit more aggressive hedge pressure from the producers out there as they say, look, I already saw one nasty draw down on prices. I want to mitigate that risk on any kind of rallies.
All right. Jim McCormick joining us today to give us the market wrap up. A quick reminder to everybody, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. And that is the Monday market wrap up on the American Ag Network.